Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Chinwag. I'm Paul Giamatti, and I am joined by my good pal, the inimitable and ingenious Stephen Asma.
Thank you, my friend. Every week on Chinwag, we get to talk to fascinating folks about all sorts of strange and esoteric topics, but this week is a little bit different. A few weeks ago, Paul and I had the pleasure of recording the podcast you're about to hear in front of a live audience at Series Fest in Denver, Colorado, which is a place of very high strangeness, Colorado. And we chose a topic that is odd and compelling and apparently very of the moment, star seeds. We also cover Akashic records, the mysteries of coronation ceremonies, and more. And if you're not familiar with this phenomenon of people living among us who think they possess alien DNA, then please have a listen. Paul, let me ask you something. Do you like your family?
It's a really complicated question, Steve. I didn't realize this is where we were going to be going right now.
No, I mean, do you like seeing pictures of your family?
Yeah, sure. Pictures of my family are nice. Yes, sir.
Okay, I've got a great recommendation for you. It is the Aura Frame. You've probably seen some of these before. You go to your friend's house and they have a frame on the cabinet or in the living room or whatever, and it has digital photos.
Sure. Yes.
Well, I got this thing and I set it up, super easy to set up. I basically dumped a bunch of photos from my phone right onto it. Very easy to do. Took me just minutes.
All this sounds scary to me.
No, it's incredibly easy.
It's not hard. Okay.
And basically you can put an almost infinite amount of photos on this thing. And then you can set the parameters and it can rotate your family through every 30 seconds.
Amazing.
And it's great because I've got pictures of my son, my family.
Cool.
My dad passed away a few years ago. I get to see him popping up every now and then. The good ghosts of your personal history coming through on this thing.
Nice. That's nice.
They have a great deal for Mother's Day, so listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ChinwagPod at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Paul Giamatti speaking.
And this is Stephen Asma, and this episode of Chinwag is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It is indeed, Steve. Let me ask you a blunt question. Do you ever feel stuck, Steve? I'm serious. Do you ever feel kind of stuck in the mud?
Every day, my friend.
Yeah.
Every damn day.
And then what happens is you get overwhelmed because you're kind of stuck, right?
True.
As I get older, and I am getting older, folks, I may not look it. You may think, oh, he's like Dorian Gray.
He's going backwards.
Yeah, wow. He's going backwards. I am getting older, folks. It's hard to believe. The thing I notice is how important it is to maintain a balance. You know, I guess you'd call it work-life balance. I don't think I'm alone here, but therapy's helped me do this balance. It can help you find equilibrium. It can help you feel more empowered in the decisions you make, the boundaries and priorities you set. It's good in that way. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Sometimes that's hard, right, to find the right person. So this helps. You can change. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/chinwag today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/chinwag.
The starseed idea goes back to probably the turn of the century. In 1900, there was a group called the Theosophical Society, and they started to develop these ideas that came to be called the New Thought School or the Mind Cure School. But the sort of more recent versions of it are from the 70s, the 80s, and now it's
huge. All from the 70s.
Big in the 70s, yeah. But now it's huge on TikTok. And so any of you who have kids or young friends or whatever, they're into this stuff big time. So if you go to social networking sites, you'll see a lot of people who think that they are star seeds. And the idea is, the first idea was that in the 70s was that some of you in here, unbeknownst to yourselves, have a kind of alien DNA within you. And at some point it gets activated and then you have sort of alien powers. And then the second version of this was that
you actually are inhabited by the soul of an alien from another planet. And at some point, that takes you over.
Somebody over there just went, what?
Yeah, no, is that you? I'm not making this up. it's very popular now. It's getting increasingly popular. Yeah,
it's interesting, though, because the starseed thing itself is like, you are, your soul has inhabited different star systems, and now you're on Earth with the soul of this alien being in you. But that's different from being an alien, though, isn't it? Because it's like, I think the whole idea of like, then there's a whole other school of thought that aliens are here and some of them look like people and are walking around. And there's a whole other thing that aliens are creating a whole hybrid human alien race and stuff too. Well. There's different schools of this.
Yeah,
though.
There's subtle differences, but I think that's right, that the alien thing is that they're possibly among us now and we don't detect them. Yeah. But the starseed thing is that you are actually an alien and that's your true self and you just have to figure that out. Uh-huh. And that basically transforms you into like a, you know, like a more powerful and well-intentioned version of yourself.
Uh-huh. And Steve, what do you think? This is bullshit or do you buy it?
I don't think it's bullshit. I think it's part of this long history, especially like in America, where people love, in America in particular, to remake themselves, like start over. Uh-huh. And so if you look at people who've done it, it's almost like being born again. Uh-huh. Like for a Christian, where like they've maybe hit rock bottom on something and then they like feel that the DNA is being activated.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting. Like, yeah, so it's a kind of religious thing. You're coming
I feel
in
like it is. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I buy it, and I'm going to tell you why, folks.
I'm the skeptic. He's kind of the believer. A bit. Yeah.
I'll believe anything. I believe anything. I had my what's called my Akashic record read. And does anybody know what that is?
Oh, wow.
See, look at that, everybody. So I have my Akashic record read, and part of the Akashic record is this idea that there's a kind of cosmic book that you can look into that tells you everything that's happened and everything that will happen too, I think, to an individual, to anything. So you can contact a person who is able to look in the Akashic record and tell you your past lives.
But this is on a mental plane. It's not a real book. It's like a
No, it's not a real book.
Book.
No, 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 it's a mental book. Yeah, it's a very mental book. It's not real. No, there's not some gigantic book. No. So
I want to clarify.
Yes, just clarify. So these people are able to access it and tell you. So I was told that I had many past lives on Earth, but that before that, I had something like 800 lives in the cosmos, in all these different star systems, Arcturus and Sirius. And each one of these star systems has a different quality to it. Some of these people are all about love. The people from Arcturus, I can't remember. I don't remember now. I don't remember much, folks. And I'm going to also point that out.
He's of a certain age.
Yes, you know, I'm a certain age and I don't remember much. But I have at least 800 different incarnations through time. And so it's also reincarnation. It's also related to reincarnation. And so it becomes an issue of whether or not you even believe in reincarnation too.
You are a star seed person?
I am a star seed person, yes. And so I'm here to sort of like, and the idea is that then I'm here to do a specific thing.
Do you know what that is?
Well, clearly do this podcast.
Okay.
All clearly right. Star in sensational comedies that America loves. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, they will tell you, she will tell you that you're here, the woman I consulted, for different things. You're here to initiate divine communication, divine love, things like this. And there's all kinds of different qualities. Apparently, I'm a dream master. Apparently, my dreams are very powerful and stuff like that.
Do you feel like you, because some of the things I've seen by people who do see themselves as star seeds is that they remember past lives on other planets and they have like a sort of a sense of being in living before in some form.
Right.
You have that?
I don't have any memories of living on Arcturus. No,
okay.
I don't. But I do have memories. I had a reincarnation dream when I was like about 7 years old. And I've never told anybody about this.
Well, but this is it here, people.
I know. So I'm going to reveal it to all of these people now. But I did. I had what I at the time even thought was a reincarnation dream. And it was so vivid, I still remember it and in great detail. I won't go into the detail of it, but it was definitely a dream that I was a kid in Italy in sort of the turn of the 20th century. There were cars, but they were very old cars. And I was sort of living with people kind of homeless, semi-homeless, kind of derelict a little bit.
Sounds right.
Yeah, sounds right. And so, and that's, at one point we visited the Vatican, but I didn't know what the Vatican was, but I knew what that was in the dream. And when I woke up, realized that that's what I had seen. But I was about 7 years old, and I remembered waking up and thinking, what was that? Why did I have that dream? So I've always thought that must have been a reincarnation dream, because it also wasn't dreamlike. It wasn't weird. It was actually very banal.
How come? Why don't you think it's just a dream?
Like, because it wasn't weird like a dream. Oh. It was very kind of like normal and quotidian, and I was just, it was boring, actually. It wasn't terribly interesting, except for the fact that I was clearly alive at another time. And so, you know, but it took me a long time to actually, I don't know that I believe in reincarnation entirely,
Yeah, some of the star seeds do and some of them don't. Like some of them, they'll say like, it's called a walk-in where you're just living your life and then all of a sudden you're transformed into a different kind of person who has a more spiritual orientation. And they think that's the other soul of the alien walking into your life.
But I do think this is part of a tradition that's very old, which is that there's some spark of the divine inside you.
Right. And if you figure out that out, then you have more potential in life and it activates you. That's a very old tradition. It goes back to the Gnostics,
right?
You know, Plato, all these people. I think this is like another version of that, like the latest version of it.
That it's this sort of, I'm trying to reach out and become sort of more complete and sort of like reach out to God and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like if you had traditional religion, it would help. It would sort of give you this framework in a traditional way, but now we don't live in a religious culture anymore. Like, you know, generally like we used to in the old days. And so now people are looking for other things like the New Age stuff as a way to give them their lives structure and meaning or something.
Right. And but a lot of this stuff can be, I mean, the UFO thing, there's a lot of kind of thinking that UFOs is the same thing, that it's like, what's his name? Not Freud. Who's the other guy?
Jung.
Sorry. I couldn't remember.
Freud, the other guy. UFO specialist.
Yeah, the other guy. But Jung had a whole thing that it was all sort of like, it's all basically a religious yearning that you're having. And that's what it is. And it's a thing from the sky and stuff like that.
Yeah, and
that.
It repeats, like, in different forms, it's always repeating. The archetypes are always repeating. But here's what's weird about the Akashic Record is, like, for Jung and these other guys, like, there's another realm, and it's perfect, and it's mental, and it's ideas. But it's not every damn thing that happened. In the Akashic Record, it's like everything that happens is somehow recorded there. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's crazy.
And everything I think that's going to happen and stuff like that. But what I don't understand is if I have this thing in me and it's been activated, am I now going to be psychic and things like that? That's what I don't understand. Well, it awaken
depends if
all
you're
these...
a Pleiadian or Arcturian or from Sirius. Or what. I guess that's what they say is like, depending on where you're from, you're going to have different superpowers or something like that.
Right. So it'll awaken these different things in you and your life will be so much better.
Do you feel like you're different after getting this Akashic Record read? Do you feel in any way like you're a better person?
That's not going to make me feel like a better person. It's very little is going to make me feel like a better person. I would say at the time when she was telling me all this stuff, it was like all this stuff. Like you get your tarot cards read, you get your horoscope done. It's very like, and this is what this is the thing that I always say about it. Because somebody asked me after I did this, I was talking to a friend of mine and telling her about all this, who was very skeptical. And she was like, you've clearly lost your mind. You're completely out of your mind. And she was like, how much of this do you believe? I've said this to you. Yeah. I said, all of it. And she said, really? You literally? And I said, I don't literally know that I'm from another planet. I think the thing that I find interesting about it is it gets my imagination going.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and it's like, and I find it creatively interesting. Mm. So when she told me this stuff, I got very excited because it got my imagination sparking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which all of that stuff does.
Is
all
it the same as reading does. like novel, science fiction novels or fantasy novels? That gets you, same you identify thing. With the characters.
Yes.
And you get your mind gets.
Yes, that's exactly what it was like. And I suppose for an actor, it's like, it's a role to step into or something. And I'm constantly looking for that kind of thing, you know?
Inspiration.
Inspiration. And that's it. It's inspiring in some way that's really exciting. So I'm willing to believe it because it's giving me something useful to work with. Now that can go horribly wrong when I can start thinking that, you know, that JFK is still alive or something like that is when that can go wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, what about this? Because a lot of people who believe in the starseed, they think that they're a soul or a mind first, and then they basically,
they inhabit a physical body. And that's fine. But the downside is a lot of them think that illnesses are just coming from the mind rather than from the body. And that seems dangerous, because then you could be like, well, I just have to get my mind right and I'll get rid of this cancer or whatever.
There's a lot of that. But I mean, isn't Christian Science all rooted in that and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a similar kind of... it's an old idea, but I do think that part of it might be more dangerous.
That kind of psychosomatic thing and leading you astray.
Although having said that, there's a lot of evidence on placebos that makes placebos way more effective than we thought they were. So the mind might have more role to play in medicine than we thought, 20, 30 years ago.
Right. Well, that makes perfect sense to me.
But here's a question for you.
Yes.
In the Akashic Record, if it tells you what your future is like, do you believe in free will? That's one question, because the future's already done. And another question is, did they tell you how you were going to die?
No, come on, man. I mean, really? No, and I don't want to know that. I mean, you can do that with 23andMe, basically, with that genetic stuff. You do that stuff.
They project your death?
They won't project your death, but you can look at your medical history, and you can look at, what's going to happen to you. Have you done that? Have you done the 23andMe thing?
My brother did it, and I was like, well, he's close enough to me, so... But I didn't see any better.
But apparently, you can get wildly different results.
I should do it.
Because I did it, and my brother did it, and, we had lots of similar things, and then I had native person of Oceania, which meant I was a Maori or something like that.
Really?
Which I don't think that's in me. And then as they refine it more, that disappeared. So there's apparently wildly crazy results you can get and stuff like that.
Well, that does raise an interesting question about why this stuff is attractive, because it says I was watching all the stuff on TikTok about star seeds. They're young people and they're saying have you ever felt you didn't fit in? Do you feel like people don't understand you? And then you realize you're an alien.
Right.
So it makes sense. That's why you're so weird.
Yes.
But it's a good thing after all. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. And clearly that resonated deeply with me. I was like, that explains a lot. No, it does. It does explain a lot. No, it's all this kind of I'm a special being.
Yeah.
You know, starseed. I mean, let's talk about starseed. Did anybody watch the fucking king get crowned today? That's starseed. There's a guy who thinks he's... There's people who think that they're on Earth with a special meeting, with a special mission. Did anybody watch that? Yeah. Did people watch that?
You have to stay up all night or something?
No, it was on this morning. Oh, I got up this morning when I was going to get on the plane.
Do you think he believes he's that special?
I don't know. I was watching this thing and thinking, this is batshit, man. And it was the Archbishop of Canterbury is standing there. It was unbelievable. I caught the best part, which is when they're piling robes up. First of all, they strip him down and it looks like he's in a nightgown in his underwear. And then they start piling, and each time they put a cloak on him, it's a different thing. This is the cloak of greatness and, glory, and they put it on him and he's sort of standing there. And then they put another one, and they had two guys to hold him up because it was so heavy. Yeah, and they're piling this shit on him. And then he sits down, and then the Archbishop of Canterbury says this, which I thought was amazing. He goes, I, Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, I was Monty Python. I was Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury. I was how the fuck is anybody keeping a straight face? It was insane. And then he's I give you the sword of power. And they hand him a sword. They give him spurs, bracelets, and they keep handing him the things. And they take him away and they put him on a table. And then they bring the orb. And
what's the orb about?
He rules the world, man. It's they give him the orb, they give him all this shit. And then they put the crown on him, and it was so hilariously
the crown is last, I'm assuming.
The crown is last. And literally the guy, Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, and he's blessing the crown. And then they literally just kind of plop it on his head. And he's sitting there not wanting the thing to fall off. And they've given him all this shit. And then he says at one point, it's all of this, you've been sent by God, the same stuff. God, you're here, designated by God to defend the realm. Still talking about that shit, the realm and everything. And then he said, may you live forever.
Really? Long live the king, I guess. Is
what not even long live the king. Make you live forever. Which is even more fucked up. I'm like, can you imagine like having a job where that's what people do? Like, I can't imagine. I mean, it kind of happens in my job. But it's forever. Like, can I imagine some studio heads like, we're really, really happy to have you on board with the project and may you live forever.
Yeah. My students say that to me all the time. Yeah, after class, may you live forever.
May you live forever. But I thought, how... is this guy not more crazy? How are those people not more crazy?
Yeah, that would fuck you up. All that power, like, would just...
I would think so.
Well, you see him every once in a while, like, forget the cameras are on him, and he does shit that looks like, you know, like, you servants, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, the whole thing happened with the pen, and he got really pissed off.
Yeah, it looks bad.
But, I mean, I was a little bit like, guys, the king needs a pen. Like, give the king a pen that works.
You were on his side?
Yes, I was on his side. I mean, it's not great that he's yelling at people, but I was a little bit like, guys, he's signing the king thing. You got to give him a pen.
You're supposed to be
like
a man of the people.
His mother just died. You got to give him
look
the fucking pen that
with
works.
The, look at this.
Can you imagine? He's going to sit there on the Magna Carta, like, making sure the pen works. Like, God damn it. It's like scribbling on the fucking thing.
We'll be right back.
I've always wanted to say that.
And now, more Chinwag. I actually think this is for an American to say this is weird, but I actually think monarchy is not such a bad idea. Now, here's why.
Uh-oh.
Because, hear me out.
Wow. We're in Denver, man.
Jesus. So hold on. Hear me out, though. You, every 4 years, we elect some fresh asshole to rule the country, and half the country hates him. And what's great about the monarchy is that there's somebody who's technically not political. And like prime ministers come and go. Those guys are jokers, just like our presidents. But there's at least one person that's like represents the country.
And they're not jokers. They're never jokers.
They're quiet about politics.
So you're saying like... in an imagined, they're supposed to be quiet about politics. He's supposed to be quiet about politics.
Yeah, right he's now. Not. That's true. But the
well,
queen
he hasn't
was.
Been. Now I think he's going to have to be.
Yeah, the queen was quiet.
Yes, she was.
About politics.
What's that? Well, colonialism,
I'm not praising
of course.
Colonialism.
Then there's colonialism.
Yeah.
Yes. Then there's colonialism.
Throw that on.
We're putting that. We're putting that aside right now, and we're just saying kings and stuff like that. No, but I know. I think this is interesting because. I essayed the role of an American president, like one of the worst ones we've ever had. I played John Adams, and I found out that he actually thought,
indeed,
that for John Adams, big John Adams, everybody, yes, John.
No, you were awesome.
God bless his soul. God bless his soul. What a great man! What a great man! He actually thought. There was a whole debate about when Washington was elected, maybe before the election. I can't remember. It was a whole debate about what are we going to call this guy? Like, what are we going to, we have this new form of government. We have this unprecedented thing going on. We're going to have this fucking guy and we don't know what to call him. You know, like, so I don't think president was not the first thing. And that, so they were bouncing, they were spitballing ideas in Congress. Yeah. They're all sitting around just bouncing things off of each other. And Adams proposed, His Majesty and King George Washington because he thought,
I know,
but because he thought people weren't going to be able to deal with the violence of the transition, suddenly going from we had this king and now we have some fucking guy we don't know what to call him.
Yeah.
And like, but to keep the idea, but also to keep the mystique of power so that people will still feel that there is greatness there and that we don't want our ruler to be too accessible. We don't want to feel like he's too much down at our level. So you can't call him just Mr. George Washington or something.
So how did they decide on president? What was the...
That I don't remember. I only got so far in the show and I don't remember.
It was just 10 parts.
It was just 10 parts. Like, yeah. I got my lines. I said my fucking lines. I don't know. I'm not a historian, Steve. Just an actor. They tell me what to say. I don't know, but clearly he was shouted down and everybody thought it was a stupid idea. Like everything.
But one thing you told me, which I always stuck with me, which is really cool, is that when you went to play him, you had to think about, like, how do I render the character? And then you saw, like, his like diary of medical complaints. And you were like, ah, now I understand how
to. Somebody had put together a whole list of, they took from every letter he wrote to his wife, I think, every time he mentioned his health. And it was just endless. It was just like, my feet ache, I have diarrhea, I have a migraine, I can't see, my teeth hurt, my gums are bleeding. It's just like, I'm farting nonstop, I can't get out of bed. But it was pages of this. I was like, holy shit. I was like, I think I know who this guy is. I think he was the biggest pain in the ass in Congress. He was just constantly feeling. But I think those people were unwell a lot. I mean, yeah. I think that they were,
their bowels were erect.
I think their bowels were erect. I think that they were just in terrible shape.
And but compared to like contemporary
teeth
politicians,
were falling out, and they were in, and he lived to be very old too. So it was like kind of unprecedented how old he was.
That's true.
To be like 90. So he was really falling apart. It's kind of crazy.
But they were all people who had done things in life. They were all like skilled at stuff. Like, you know, Jefferson was a good scientist. Franklin also was a good scientist. All these people were so different from our contemporary politicians who don't seem to have like skills.
Any particular skills? Yeah. No, they're not.
Yeah.
they don't. What's
any
that?
Skills.
Any skills. Yeah. No, it's, and, but the freakish thing is that the thing I always think about them is that like, it's just bizarre. Talk again about like starseed. Like, how did it happen that that group of guys happened to be in this essentially like total backwater place? I mean, this was like the ass end of beyond. Not Denver. Not Denver. I'm talking about New England. New England was the ass end of beyond. It still is. Connecticut and stuff like that. You know, I'm from Connecticut, so
I can unload
on Connecticut. But it was a backwater, you know, and suddenly you had all these weird geniuses here.
Yeah,
it's weird, and it is sort of like something uncanny is happening.
The other thing that the starseed thing is supposed to explain is like, you ever see these kids who like they're 3 and 4 and they can paint like, you know, Van Gogh and play piano like Mozart. And so some people were suggesting that these prodigy kids might be some of these starseed. That's one theory.
Wouldn't that just be any genius kid, though? I mean, like, so was Mozart a starseed?
I think that's the idea.
And so all of these people are starseed.
Jesus was a starseed and Buddha was a starseed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Any standout, they think.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's almost like, was there some notion that, like, they're almost like angels or something? So, again, like, not Freud, Jung, like, they have this idea that, like, at one time, we would have called these people angels, but now we call them aliens.
Yes.
Because we've moved through time and we no longer really believe in angels so much. And now we say they're aliens.
But they have like some of the same properties. They have powers that you and I don't have. They're good. They're inspirational. And they prove that you're not alone. Like that's what this guy, Jacques Vallée, who is a UFO expert, Paul and I are sort of fans of moderately. He thinks that aliens are popular because human beings feel kind of lonely as a species.
Ah.
We don't have we have dogs and cats as companions, but we don't have people that are like,
oh, so we want to feel like we're somebody's dog?
Seriously,
we want to feel somebody is sort of paternalistic towards us like that?
The masochists among us do. The rest of us want some kind of equal, some kind of peer. Of intellect, you know.
Oh, so that they're like at our level. We're so sophisticated. And these are the other people who are sophisticated as we are.
But if an alien got here, they would clearly be way more sophisticated than us because they got here.
So that's true. Have you ever known anybody who's like seen a UFO or anything like that? Ever like had any kind of encounter like that?
I know people that have seen weird stuff, but not so compelling that they were like, "There's no other explanation." How about you?
I lived in Seattle for a while, which should say it all, because right there were a lot of people who thought a lot of weird things had happened to them in Seattle. And I did know a guy who was interesting. He claimed to be in contact with these sort of entities. I wonder if he would have said that he was starseed. He might now probably say this, but that he communicated with these entities, but it was only when he was taking a bath. It was only when he was in the bath for some reason. And
really?
And he would have contact with these things. He would go into these kinds of trance states and stuff like that. And he would paint them and stuff, and they were remarkable. And that was interesting, but it seemed different to me somehow. It was religious, it felt like to me too, this guy. I don't know why the bath was connected to it.
Well, there are these, they call them hypnagogic states, where before you're falling asleep and you're not quite awake and you're in between, like these liminal states.
Yeah.
And I think taking a bath is kind of, it's not quite there, but
it's an in-between,
you know what
state?
I mean? You're super relaxed.
Yeah, you start spacing out in the bath.
In fact, Woody Allen said all of his great ideas came to him in the shower.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I heard an actually really interesting story about Salvador Dali recently. The great painter Salvador Dali. Did you hear that he would, to get his ideas, he would let himself sort of fall into that weird between state where you're not quite awake and you're just about to fall asleep when you have just really weird shit you start thinking, you know. But he held a spoon in his hand so that he would, just as he was falling asleep, he would drop the spoon and he would wake him up and then he would start painting.
And then he would do it again, or he would
he would just go right to painting, because whatever the hell he had just seen, he would start painting.
So you would have unique visions in that weird state of consciousness.
I have weird visions in that state of consciousness. Do you not? Don't you? Right as you're about to fall asleep, don't you have those super weird? That's always the time when I'm when I jerk awake or something like that, when you have those really strange moments.
But do you ever use that kind of, he did it for painting and people do it for music all the time. But as an actor, do you ever use this weird, these altered states of consciousness as a way to get ideas about the character?
Are you asking me if I'm high when I work?
Well, I was implying,
I don't know. I mean, it's almost in some ways, ideally, you're, when you're acting, you're supposed to go into some, you ideally should, maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's the whole sort of methody thing, says that you should be going into some other state of being. You should become this other person.
Does that happen for you?
I don't think I've ever really felt that way, except maybe once or twice that I had entirely kind of forgotten who I was and stuff like that. Maybe once or twice. And then when you're on stage, I think I've had, more so than film, feelings of ecstasy, ecstatic things, where you have that flow state thing that people talk about. And I used to say it felt like I had a million eyes and a million hands, and I couldn't do anything wrong. I could see everything, and I could, and you have those moments. Yeah, you're in the zone. And that sort of feels like, and then anything can happen, and nothing you do is wrong. You know, you can't make a wrong move, which is an amazing thing.
Are other people on stage or on the set in the zone with you? Or, you know what I mean? Does it feel like it's a collective thing?
I think it does have to feel like the other people are too, which is cool. That's a cool thing that you're saying, because it's it is a collaborative thing. And so I don't know that you end up feeling it alone. And I also think it's the audience too. It's all of that energetic stuff contributing at once to make something feel like it's starting to really spin like a top. And it's everything. It's not just you. I don't think it would just happen to you. You know, although I suppose if you were doing a solo thing or something like that, it could happen.
And it happens to jazz musicians all the time too, I think. And I think that the ancient Greeks had this idea that what's happening to you then is that the muse is actually possessing you. So it's a positive possession.
Right. And that's the starseed thing again.
Yes,
see that? Back to starseed, man. I got it back to starseed because it's benevolent possession.
Yes.
It's a good kind of possession. And it's not demonic. But so what explains demonic stuff? What's demonic possession? Are there negative starseed people?
Yes, there are.
There are?
Yeah, there's three categories. One is the refugee. This is the alien from another planet who is being hunted and needs to come to your body to survive. Then there's the helper who wants to come and just help humanity. And then the third is the colonialist, the one who's coming to sort of possibly take over the earth. So there is a ne'er-do-well.
Oh, so there are sort of demonic forces, and that explains all of the demonic possession.
I think that's,
and stuff like that.
The Hitlers.
Do we still have exorcists and stuff in the Vatican? Do they still do that?
They do.
There's still guys who
That's
so
it's
crazy.
Rare, and it's kind of quiet. But it still happens.
So there's a guy who becomes a priest, and he's like, I'm going to get on the exorcism track. Is there? Is, yeah, there, is a, that what happens?
A
is
class
there
some guy who just goes,
I think I got a gift for this thing. I think I know exactly what I'm doing here with the cross and the water and the whole thing. I mean, it's weird. So somebody seems to have a propensity for that, and then they just enter that realm.
Yeah. I think in the old days, it was like, how well can you torture somebody? Okay, you have the job. But now it's like... Now it's like they probably have a sixth sense, and then somebody recognizes that in them, and they go, that person would be good for exorcism.
They would think, and this person has an ability to suss out evil starseed, this particular priest.
Yeah.
Do they still do, when's the last time they canonized a saint? Did they do John Paul II? Was he a saint?
They're working on it, right? No, they did him, okay.
But that's a whole thing, right? I mean, they have to go through a whole... like rigorous thing of like proving.
They have to be able to prove like that there was a miracle, right? And there's like witnesses.
I think you have to have several miracles.
How different is that from the starseed thing? It's just the starseed thing is just a new age version of the religious impulse that some people are special and better and higher.
Uh-huh.
And you want to aspire to be them or something.
Uh-huh. But that's you. You can be your better self.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You like, you know, it's you, which means you feel special and you've been weird all your life and now you have a new direction.
it's not channeling though. That's a different thing, right? Channeling's a different thing. And again, like I feel like people don't channel anymore. Like that was the 70s. That was like the 70s and the 80s. The 80s was like, Ramtha was like big in the 80s, right?
Need more channeling, yeah.
Yeah, I think Ramtha's still around. Do you remember Ramtha? Does anybody remember? Ramtha was this woman, I think she still does it out in, oh, did I just get a signal there to shut up? Okay, great.
Don't talk about Ramtha.
I started talking about Ramtha and they cut me off. Ramtha, I think, is still around, but Ramtha was this, she would channel stuff. She would channel this, I am Ramtha thing. But what's weird to me is how that like, it's like faddish, trendy. And like, why is something like trendy at some point and then it's not, is really strange to me. Like, what was it about the 80s that was like, we need Ramtha now? You know, it's like, that's strange.
It's a response to like what the dominant culture is doing. So I noticed a lot of young people online doing the starseed thing, and they feel like after COVID, they feel sort of, and they don't have the traditional, you know, sense of meaning, and there's a crisis of loneliness in the country, and then somebody says, you know what, you're an alien.
Right.
And then they're like, yeah, that makes sense out of all this shit we just been through.
Yes, now it does. Out. It does. It does to me. It makes sense to me. Are we taking questions? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I think we
am I correct about
minutes.
That? Okay.
But
yes,
I got to say one thing, though, on I think just one last thing on this is I like this idea of the star seeds and the I'm an alien or whatever. But because I think it's a way people can organize like their hopes and dreams, it gives them structure. But I think the evidence for it is the same as the evidence for me being from Krypton and my father being Jor-El. Like it's in the same, like it's the same kind of stuff. Like I find it very hard to believe this stuff. But I respect the people who go for it because they. It's therapeutic.
No, again, I get it. No, I understand that. I agree with you. But as I was saying, like the thing to me is that it's, I suppose that's what you're saying. I mean, the imaginative inspiration of it seems like a really useful thing. It can be a really useful thing. I think that's awesome.
We'll be right back after this important word from our sponsor. Steve, let me ask you a personal question.
Okay.
do you have a mother, Steve?
I do indeed.
Fantastic.
Don't we all?
Yeah, well, yes, we all do, but I'm sure you're a good son and you love your mother, don't you, Steve?
The best. I'm like legendary.
Very good. Very good. Well, I got a tip for you. You can really win Mother's Day. Win your mother over on Mother's Day. Cement your reputation as this really good son. Give your mom an Aura digital picture frame. Have you heard of these things, Steve?
Yes, I have.
They're loaded up with decades of photos. You can just like hook them up to the phone and then you get the photos running through it, kind of scrolling through it. You seen these things?
Yeah, they're great.
They're really cool. Yeah, and you can get everything. And pictures of your mom, pictures of whoever, your family, your brothers, all these things. They're a wonderful item. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code word ChinwagPod at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Microdosing, Steve. This is a topic you and I have dwelt on in the past.
Indeed we have, sir. Yes.
Indeed we have. And for those of you who are not familiar with the term microdosing, you should know that all sorts of people like you, Steve, people like me, are microdosing to feel healthier and to perform better in their daily lives. I don't know about you, Steve.
Tell me.
But sometimes a little microdose at the end of the day helps me unwind, relieves anxiety. Even just a part of one of these gummies, not even the whole thing, it just really does me right.
Mellow you out.
Yeah, chill out, settle down. I got to tell you, I just went through some stressful stuff, Steve. And occasionally, just a little piece of one of those things or one of those things just set me up great.
I hear you.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC to help you feel just the right amount of excellent, Steve. So to learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code CHINWAG to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Microdose.com, code CHINWAG for 30% off and free shipping. Again, that's microdose.com, code CHINWAG. And we're back with more Chinwag.
I think we're going to take questions.
Uh-huh. There anybody? Anybody? Nobody.
So you got to go up to the microphone.
You got to go to the microphone, idea? I think. Do you
really
or do you have
to?
You have to. Uh-oh. He's going to start berating us.
Yeah, something like that. I have a question about the dark forest theory and how it relates to the starseed theory. So the dark forest theory being that no alien life is going to expose itself out of fear of being wiped out. So does the starseed theory, because this is new for me, does the starseed theory undermine the dark forest theory?
Yeah. Do you know this theory?
No, I don't. I've never heard of this. What is this?
It's like a way.
It's a good
that,
book, too.
It's like sort
the
of like
book?
The Fermi paradox. You're thinking about the Cixin Liu.
Yeah.
The Fermi paradox is that you know this one. Like if life is so inevitable.
I don't know the Fermi paradox. I'm an actor, Steve. I reiterate again. I'm not a historian. I'm not a physicist. I'm just an actor, Steve.
So anyway, the Fermi paradox is why if life is so inevitable, then why haven't we seen the aliens yet?
Uh-huh.
Why have they not visited?
Uh-huh.
It's this gap. And so the one theory is, well, what you want to do is lay low because most of your encounters with aliens would be threatening and possibly annihilate you.
Uh-huh.
So the idea is if you're in a forest that's dark, keep quiet and hidden. And so that's one theory about why we're not seeing them.
They're hiding. The aliens are.
We are too, especially because, you know, we've only had technology for 200 years, computers.
Yeah,
80
Stephen Hawking said we should quiet down.
Yeah. I'm with him, man.
Yeah, stop putting out electromagnetic.
Stop trying to contact.
I truly shut up and stop. Yeah.
Stop calling
and
me.
And there's a lot of satellites out there that might make it difficult for us to leave our own orbit. I mean, this is actual science, but that's anyway.
That's
anyway,
interesting.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
It does seem to sort of undermine it if it's just like everybody's now a freaking alien. That's kind
of
like
we're all
not
kind of exposing
quiet.
Ourselves.
It's making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody be quiet.
Well, you're looking for logical coherence where there may not be any.
You know? A whole lot, yeah.
But there. I think the idea is that you, these aliens can travel faster than light because they have astral bodies or something. So there's a kind of a lot of.
Well, there's just a lot of potential for much more advanced species or, life than we are, so.
Although Jesus was pretty cool, and so were some of, Einstein.
I'd like to take the optimistic view, I think. Thank you.
Yeah.
good question.
Yeah, excellent question. I'd not heard of that theory before. Oh, here we go.
To tag along to that question a little bit more, it's what do you guys believe in dream state and connecting to extraterrestrials, especially now looking at Brazilian Air Force, Area 51, where the Air Force guy ended up picking up the extraterrestrial body and found up being dead. Just found out this guy from NASA told me the story a couple days ago. So what are you guys' feelings about hitting up the dream world and actually connecting to the aliens?
Well, this is all you, man.
No. Hang on. Hang on, sir.
Sorry.
Hold on, sir. So this sounds like it's a multi-part question.
Always.
You're asking me about dream state as a means of communicating with aliens?
Yeah.
What do I think about that?
Yeah.
I think that makes some sense.
You're welcome.
And actually, I knew. Thank you. Great. Thanks for coming. I think
I actually used to dream quite a bit about aliens, and had a friend at one time who thought that I was probably being abducted. I don't think I was, but I do think, sure, it makes, I happen to think that the dream state allows us to do all kinds of communication and moving around in different realms. But I don't, what, Brazilian Area 51?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating story. So Brazilian Air Force 51 said recently enough, the stories are coming out right now, that somebody in the military found an extraterrestrial and then picking him up, bringing him back, tried to heal him and trying to nurse him back to health. But within a day, because of the contact, somehow he gained an infection that killed him.
Oh,
yeah.
This happened in Brazil.
Brazil.
Well, there you go. Don't take a flight in any UFO. You're going to catch something you don't want to bring back to Earth. I hadn't heard that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you hear a lot of this stuff.
So talk about the dream state again and talking the Kosher record. What are some of the signs that really made you feel like that you touched it and you know that you had that sense, just coming from even myself trying to figure that out?
In terms of dreaming about the aliens?
The Akashic record.
Dreaming your future, or like dreaming your story, or knowing your story itself and then watching it play out.
Oh, well, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, when I talk about the sort of inspiration thing, I think that's what I mean. You know what I mean? That it's like, that's what I'm talking about. That somehow it gets a kind of creative, imaginative side of me going. And that's what's making even further contact. You know what I mean? It's not so much that I think I'm literally realizing that I am from Arcturus. It's just that it's expanding my mind imaginatively somehow, that so that I can be a more expansive thinker, I think, in general, if that makes any sense. It probably doesn't.
I think you'll appreciate this comment, but you're giving me the same energy as Roddy Piper right now.
What's that?
You're giving me the same energy as Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper?
Yeah,
rest in peace. Like Roddy Piper?
Rest in peace, yeah.
You know. Right on. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Cool, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Roddy Piper. I've come across the same energy as Roddy Piper.
I've always said that about you.
I've met him and I don't get it. I'm sorry.
No, I do, though. I get it.
You do it? Oh, okay. Yep.
Oh, good
more
shirt.
More like the Hulk.
That's a nice shirt.
Thank you. I wore this for you.
I had a feeling it did. Thanks.
So I want to go to dreams.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So in the 70s, I taught at a free school and it was a bunch of children of hippies. Half hippies, half, so it was like the mother became a banker and the father became, you know, like a spiritual guy who studied the Bhagavad Gita, right? So I had this student named Cappy. She was so amazing and she was an artist. And her mother was the banker, her father was, you know, like a guru who read the Bhagavad Gita. So this was her life, right?
Amazing. Yeah.
So she came in one day and she said to me, Eileen, do people in your dreams have minds of their own? So I went, you know, she's in fifth grade.
Yeah.
So I went, geez, I don't even know what to say to this child. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Know? So
that's
like really I go, like,
yeah,
so
wow.
I go, why would you say that? And she said, well, I had this dream last night and there were people in it and they were doing things I didn't like and I tried to talk them out of it and they wouldn't listen.
Huh.
So it was like they had minds of their own.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, honey, I have no answer for this. You got to just realize that adults don't have the answers. And I'm hardly an adult. I was like 20.
We're going to recess now.
Yeah. Recess. Exactly. And so then I started to realize that she would draw all these things, you know, she would draw somebody like a goat, a goat dancing and out of his, and playing a flute and the music was a rainbow.
Uh-huh.
And so I started to like get more into it and I realized it was the Bhagavad Gita that she had been reading this. So I just think your original context of, I think that it all goes back to and the fact that people are looking for meaning. I mean, she really was, I think, just looking for meaning.
Totally.
Yeah,
do you think she was somehow absorbing the Bhagavad Gita?
A lot of this is going on. Like, we are absorbing things in the culture all around us, and then we don't realize we're doing it. There's a really famous case. Paul and I are sort of interested in the case of Barney and Betty Hill, who were one of the first supposed abductees. Mm-hmm. And they were taken up in a UFO, and then they were returned and they discovered this in hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And they asked Barney, I don't know if you know the story, to draw what he saw. And he drew what was like a sketch of like the gray.
Yeah.
And it was like, he was under hypnosis when he did it. And so, but then what some skeptics have noticed that at the time when Barney was doing this under hypnosis, The Outer Limits was on TV. And it was showing.
He'd seen something very similar.
Yeah, and then Invasion from Mars is like from 1953, and that was on TV. And so the idea is you're absorbing it, and then you don't, it's not like you're tricking anybody. You're just, it's part of your mental furniture.
Yeah.
And you don't know.
Exactly. The interesting thing, though, is having a mind of your own in the dreams is really kind of cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that goes to the thing that I'm convinced that the people I see in my dreams who I don't know who they are real people. And I'm intersecting.
That's a cool idea, actually.
Yeah, I think that.
Have you ever seen anybody in real life and you're like, I saw you in my dream?
I don't think so, no. I don't think that that's ever happened. But I definitely have had feelings that I'm like, oh, we're dreaming at the same time and I'm seeing you in my dream.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Oh.
Well, I'll start by saying that everything I know about starseeds, I learned from TikTok.
Uh-huh. Okay. See?
So I had a really good TikTok rabbit hole.
Let's hear it for TikTok.
Hit a really good TikTok rabbit hole at one point around the starseed situation.
Really?
Yeah. And it's interesting. I have a kid who, when he was two, learned Thomas the Train Song in Japanese and told me he was from Japan and that he remembered it and he described it to me. And I was like, that is weird.
And how old is he now?
He's now 16.
Does he remember any of that stuff?
He does. He says he was joking. And I was like, you were two.
I'm not sure. That's awesome.
I'm not sure. But I have video of him singing Thomas the Train in Japanese.
And you don't know where he got that from.
He is a 6 foot tall redhead.
Yes.
And he has this huge affinity for Japan.
Uh-huh.
He's learning Japanese.
Interesting.
He cannot wait to go there.
He's got
trips planned. So, but it's nothing that we...
But that's like a class. Where is that? Is it the University of Virginia where they have the people who are researching all the reincarnation stuff?
Yeah, it is.
There's a whole center at the University of Virginia that very seriously studying reincarnation and particularly studying children. And that's like a classic, a classic scenario for, it sounds like one of their case studies entirely.
Well, it's really interesting.
That a kid suddenly starts speaking a language they don't know and says, you know, that's...
And
you should get your kid checked out by the University of Virginia.
I'll take him immediately. He's also on Spectrum. So it's a really interesting thing because he'll shut that down too. Hi, as my child. He does sometimes will shut that down. And I remember looking at him and being really open to saying, well, what is this? Like, let's talk about it. And he will shut it down. And so I don't know if he's a great study for something.
Yeah, right. He might not go over great, but it
was just an interesting thing. And I just think this idea, or at least the big push on TikTok was sort of like the awakening is happening now.
Well, I hope they go into fields like petroleum engineering and, you know, climate change and stuff because that's where
that's
they're
needed. That's the idea,
if they end up being great scientists, that's awesome. I don't know whether... the way I saw it is more, it's a little bit more like people interested in astrology. I know we gotta get off here,
but shut up.
I think a lot of people are using these ideas as a way to navigate their own romantic lives, their relationships, real personal kind of stuff. But I get what you're saying. It's definitely, it's definitely hot right now because of climate.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Chinwag. And of course, if you like what we're doing, and even if you don't, especially if you don't, you know, I like a little lively debate. I'd like to get into it with you people. How about you write to us? Because we'd love to hear from you. Post all your burning questions in the comments.
If you have a topic you want us to cover and it's strange enough, then maybe we'll talk about it here on this very podcast.
And please make sure you rate us and leave a review, and then share us with your friends. Why not? Ha 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 ha!
Chinwag is a production of Treefort Media and Touchy Feely Films, hosted and executive produced by Paul Giamatti and Stephen Asma. Executive producers for Treefort are Kelly Garner and Lisa Ammerman. Dan Carey is executive producer for Touchy Feely. Our series producer is Rachel Whitley Bernstein. Our associate producer is Andrew Miller. Original theme music by Luke Topp, with additional music by Via Mardot. Oscar Guido is our executive in charge of production. Tom Monahan is head of audio for Treefort. Animation created by Alex Sokol. Audio production, supervision, and editing by Maxwell Carney. Additional audio assistance and mixing by Jeff Neal. Video editing by Brian Barcheski, with additional production management from Renee Levesque. Lastly, for more information, go to chinwagpod.fm and find us on Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.